What's up, our constant listeners and viewers? Welcome to the Geek Talk with Brian Furt 16, and I'm your host, the one and the only Brian Furt 16. And if you're new to the channel, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. And if you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple, iTunes, or whatever you listen to your podcasts. If you're watching this, please don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe, and also hit the bell icon for all the updates. Now, I'm going to give you my commentary, my two cents, on WWE producer Kevin Dunn. Yep, this guy is connected to, or at least has some connection to, the controversy surrounding WWE CEO and chairman Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Vince McMahon, who recently retired amid the scandals where he paid millions of dollars to cover an affair with a coworker and possibly several other female coworkers, including female WWE superstars. I mean, this guy is behind the juggernaut that is WWE, the place that made megastars like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, Andre the Giant, Lita, Sasha Banks, The Rock, Becky Lynch, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Undertaker, and the marquee himself, John Cena, and many others. But before we get into that, I want to introduce you, constant listeners, to an app called Nerdcrawler. This app notifies me when new original comic art is added to comic artists and art dealer sites. I've tried setting up these types of notifications before, but they can be pretty complicated. Nerdcrawler makes it super easy to set up, and now I get notifications the moment new art drops. For a limited time, you can get 20% off your first year of any plan with my code Brian20. I recommend the Founders Plan, which monitors sites every minute, and you can get the text messages and the new art drops. I'll post a link on the description page on my YouTube and my podcast page as well. Now, back to the subject at hand, Kevin Dunn. So who is this guy? If you're a casually wrestling fan, you probably wouldn't know who Kevin Dunn is. And that's the crazy thing, because he's a behind-the-scenes guy. He's the producer of all the WWE content. Now, unless if you're a hardcore wrestling fan, like yours truly, or Jim Cornette, a former WWE personality who was actually, I think he was a manager of the Rock and Roll Express, if I'm not mistaken, and actually the guy who blocked me on Twitter. It's an honor, Jim, and it's a real honor to be blocked by Jim Cornette. And basically, it's a long story, though, but the long story short is just that I just said something about the fact that, you know, he wasn't really, you know, he was just always talking about the past, and then he blocked me. So, but again, it's an honor. Anyway. So for those of you who don't know who Kevin Dunn is, he's a longtime producer for WWE and basically Vince McMahon's right-hand man. And these guys have been like this for the last 38, 40 years. And the interesting thing is that Vince McMahon's father worked with Kevin Dunn's father. So they're pretty tight. And it's a pretty noteworthy thing to mention, I have to say, because, again, this is surrounding the scandal in which Vince McMahon is involved in. And also, Vice President of Talent Relations John Laurinaitis is involved in a scandal, too, as well. And he's basically on administrative leave, which technically means he's gone from the company. He's not doing anything. He's not there. He's gone. Okay. And there have been so many stories about Kevin Dunn from wrestlers and personalities alike. And basically, Kevin Dunn, according to most of these stories that are called basically shoot interviews, he basically has Vince McMahon's ear. He has Vince McMahon wrapped around his finger. So, for instance, it's been reported that, you know, while Vince McMahon may have something on his mind, you know, along comes the little birdie called Kevin Dunn, and then poof. You know, just like that, you know, Vince McMahon has his mind made up. And it's like, okay, maybe we're going to go one direction, but then we have to go another. So that's basically the dynamic between those two, a little bit of a background there. And just for the record, constant listeners and viewers, please note that I do not know Kevin Dunn professionally or personally, and I never met the guy. And I'm just giving you my commentary on the whole situation at hand. I'm going to cite articles and videos on Kevin Dunn. And I'll give my little commentary here and there, though, but I'm not going to judge the man. You know what I mean? That's, not going to make fun of him, none of that. So I'm just going to, you know, tell you, like, again, what's been reported in the wrestling journalism sites and the community and what I think might go down since he is a Vince McMahon ally. So having said that, I'm going to show you a poll in which I asked all of you constant listeners, especially who are WWE fans, with Vince McMahon retired and John Laurinaitis, the aforementioned John Laurinaitis, who's formerly the VP of Talent Relations, being gone, though they say he's on administrative leave on paper, he's technically gone. Is it safe to say that Kevin Dunn, longtime WWE producer, is next in line on the chopping block? And the poll was a unanimous yes. I mean, you guys voted unanimously. 96.2% voted yes, whereas 3.8 voted no. And there's no doubt in my mind that probably one of those, even those 26 voters, probably one of those voters, at least one, was probably a WWE superstar or a former superstar, or maybe even Jim Cornette himself, who knows? Though, he blocked me on Twitter, so there's that. Maybe his producer, Brian List, might have been part of that vote, but who knows? Anyway. So, yep, 96% of you voted for him to be gone, and this just shows how much so many fans and so many people just don't like this guy. So many people in the wrestling sphere don't like this guy. And it's not just Jim Cornette. And a matter of fact, I have an article in which there is about, from the Sportster, I'm showing that Billy Kay and 9 other wrestlers that Kevin Dunn didn't like. And it's a pretty extensive list. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's more to this list than even this article alone. With Billy Kay, hers is really interesting because, you know, she was actually a wrestler. And, well, she is a wrestler. And from Australia. You know, actually had a pretty good run with the titles, though. But behind the scenes, Kevin Dunn apparently didn't like her because, you know, according to this article, he said here that he wasn't a fan of her. Reportedly, Dunn didn't get Kay as a performer and thought that she wasn't going to go very far. And I believe with Billy Kay, she wrestled and, you know, had several stints in the indie circuit, you know, several successes there. It's pretty boggling that he would say that about her. And, you know, she was a pretty solid performer. Very funny, too. And then there's Sheamus. Sheamus is one of my favorite WWE superstars. And made a huge impact, too, when he debuted on ECW, I think in 2009, I want to say. Ended up getting a push, beating John Cena for the WWE title. Won the 2010 King of the Ring. But then his stock kind of went down, and you guessed it was Kevin Dunn. Took a dislike to Sheamus for the same reason he came up with the King Sheamus character and the company's silly costume in a way that to take a rising star down a notch. I mean, wow. And here's another surprising one is Kelly Kelly. And, you know, everyone liked Kelly Kelly, you know, like, made her debut on ECW too, and, says here, actually, Greenfield reported a story about a discussion on a plane with Vince McMahon and the writers about why Kelly Kelly wasn't connecting with the audience during her ECW run as Mike Knox's girlfriend. That's when Dunn, according to Greenfield, blurted out that Kelly Kelly needed to get okay. So basically, she needed to change herself, you know, which, I mean, dude, really? And although he reportedly said so in a much cruder way than that. Well, so let's just leave it at that. So yeah, I mean, to be fair, she was just starting out. She was a pretty young superstar too. She was 19 when she started out in ECW and doing all that extreme expose stuff. Around the same time I started going to college. And then here's a big one, Triple H. That's my cat. Anyway, yeah, the intern, she likes to, you know, arrange things though, but we're shooting here, buddy. It's okay, Jean Grey. You wanna say hi? See, there she is. So, anyway, Triple H is another one. It says here that Triple H, you know, there's pretty much a power, you know, struggle between Triple H and Kevin Dunn. And, so it's kind of like to me, when I first heard about this, it was kind of like a WWE Civil War, if you will. Not the kind of civil war that you would see with Captain America and Iron Man. It was just, you know, a corporate civil war, you know, just, you know, who, you know, Triple H was more of the guy who put stars, you know, I feel like he put more of the younger stars over, whereas with Kevin Dunn, knocked him down because that's why pretty much Triple H built NXT, and that was his baby. But then Kevin Dunn would, you know, do his thing and try to go into McMahon's ear again. So if you look at NXT, I mean, people were like, you know, going above the moon in NXT. They were, you know, going, they were skyrocketing. But then when they went to the main roster, their stock kind of went down. And the reason that, probably the reason behind that was Kevin Dunn. So there's that. And yeah, I remember Adam Rose. That's another one. Yeah, this guy really hit rock bottom too. Once upon a time. I mean, I don't know too much of what happened though, but I heard that he had basically domestic issues and drug issues and, you know. But, you know, hopefully he's doing okay. And Paige, yeah, that's another one too. You know, I mean, she was like another one who skyrocketed. And, you know, made a dynamic debut during the post-WrestleMania episode of Raw in 2014. Immediately won the Divas title from AJ Lee. That was a pretty good run. But then, you know, then here it says Kevin Dunn was super over into Alicia Fox at the time and even had Alicia Fox win against, you know, her, you know, in a 3-minute non-title win. And it's just really interesting too, because similar to Billie Kay, Paige was also familiar with the wrestling business. She knew the business, and it seems like, you know, he didn't like people who were involved in the wrestling business, and it kind of brings more clout to what Jim Cornette said about Kevin Dunn not really liking the wrestling business, like not really liking the word wrestling, but calling it entertainment. And well, I'll kind of circle back on how I feel that as a contradiction, because in a way he kind of contradicts himself a little bit from what I've observed, at least. Again, not saying that he's a bad guy, but this is one way I'm observing. Ooh, Paul Bearer, Undertaker's manager. Yeah, he was another detractor from Kevin Dunn. Didn't really like him either. He even posted a video with Jim Cornette about how they didn't like the way he op you know Dunn operated things. So let's see. While Paul was an on-screen character, Dunn reportedly tried to keep him off TV due to a bias against Southern accents. Even though Bearer had transitioned to a backstage role, Dunn tried to keep him out of the production truck. There was a video about that too. He talked to Jim Cornette about that truck, and he called it like the Holy Tabernacle. It was a really hilarious video. The fact that they tried to like, I don't know, they tried to make, you know, they don't let, you know, I know the thing I noticed about WWE. And the thing I notice about WWE is just that they try to like make things to their own image. To be fair, okay, you want a certain brand, right? But then with promotions like Impact Wrestling and AEW, All Elite Wrestling, I feel like they're more natural. They like to let things just come naturally. And I think the fans gravitate towards that more. I mean, it sort of has its own risk, I would say, but in the long run, you're gonna have your fans. You're gonna have people who like or don't like certain things about certain wrestlers or certain shows even. But that's why I feel like I gravitate towards AEW more, because it's more okay in terms of storylines. I mean, they can pretty much do some work there, but I feel like with AEW overall, it's just naturally creative. You know, it's a place where you're not, you know, you don't have to be afraid, okay, to be creative. Whereas with WWE, it's a little more like you're kind of under their microscope. You're kind of under their, you know. Though, I mean, with McMahon gone right now, I mean, that could very well change. Who knows? Then you have John Morrison, another superstar. And this was a well-documented one, actually, because, you know, with Dunn, he had reasons for not, you know, his reasons for, like, not liking Morrison because he thought, like, you know, he wanted to do, you know, the flip, you know, do stuff that wrestlers do, flip, run, and act, while simultaneously not necessarily wanting to be a WWE superstar. And this is coming from a guy, okay, who basically, you know, says that, oh, wrestling, you know, it's, you know, she didn't use the word wrestling, it's a sport, okay? And it's like, really, though? I mean, Yeah, you know, he wants to become a wrestler. That's what they do. They run, flip, and act. What else do you call that? That's entertainment, right? World Wrestling Entertainment. And here's actually a video of that too. It's right here where he actually says all that.
I'd like to be in the WWF because I think it suits my
This was in
personality
Tough
very well.
Enough,
It's
like I
kind
think the
of a
second
perfect mix
season.
of all the things I'd like to do.
I think I don't like him because he's patronizing us a little bit. And you know, more and more
That's
things about
Kevin
it, I don't
Dunn.
think he wants to be a WWF star. I think he wants to flip, act, run, and do all the things that make up our genre.
He's not doing anything for me.
I'm passive.
Yeah, so it's like, dude, you're kind of like, okay, you know? And it says here in this article, Dunn's reasons for not liking Morrison are totally bizarre, and I agree with that. He accuses the young WWE hopeful of wanting to do all the stuff that wrestlers do, flip, run, act, while simultaneously not necessarily wanting to be a WWE superstar. It seems strangely petty and gets weirder considering that Morrison would win WWE Tough Enough Season 3 and become a decorated champion across multiple promotions. And this guy was really successful, maybe not in the WWE side of things per se. I mean, he did have several runs with the Intercontinental title. He was also a former ECW champion. And several tag team titles too, with The Miz and also with Joey Mercury as part of Eminem, and then with Miz when he became John Morrison. But he was one of my favorite superstars during the 2010s, and he had several successful runs in CML, and I think he met his wife. I want to say her name is Taya Valkyrie from Impact Wrestling. Very successful as Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, Johnny Elite. He's basically an all. He's pretty much. He's actually right now signed. I think he's signed to All Elite Wrestling, if I'm not mistaken. So I mean, I feel like Dunn, you know, in a sense, didn't really have an idea like of the kind of star that this guy would become, and he's written a whole lot of people off. And here's Bo Dallas. He's another one. And Bo Dallas, he's actually a son of Erwin R. Schweitzer, IRS. He's one of the le legendary WWE superstars who was with the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. And so Bo was part of the NXT, you know, alumni. Very successful in, actually, he was also successful, I think, in Florida Championship Wrestling. And I think he even had a run with the NXT title, if I'm not mistaken. But then when he came to the main roster, though, I mean, it just completely tanked for him. And then I think after that, he was just released. After being a sidekick to The Miz. And yeah, just unfortunate. There was even articles about him, too, looking into getting into real estate and all that. And which I think was really smart, actually. You know, I mean, that's what Rene Dupree, one of my other favorite WWE superstars, he was a villain. The French Phenom, actually. You know, you should check out his Cafe de Rene podcast, too, by the way. It's really awesome. It's really hilarious, too. But very, very interesting stories, too, that he tells. I'm going to also show you a clip from that, too, in a little bit. But Rene Dupree actually invested in real estate, too, and did pretty well. So there's Bo Dallas. I mean, good superstar too, by the way, talented. And here's number one, Becky Lynch, one of my favorites. Another one of my favorites for today, Becky Lynch, the man, Becky Two Belts. Lot of articles about Kevin Dunn making fun of, you know, basically poking fun at her Irish accent and her looks, saying that, you know, it wasn't going to really get her over as much, and you know, wanted to limit her promo time similar to Paige. But yet, I feel like Becky, you know, she handled it pretty gracefully and professionally. And she said it in this tweet, which I can show you here. For those who don't understand, my accent, what I said was SmackDown Alexa Glasgow face slapped off her. That's genius. And it was just, you know, and it just showed the fact that she believed in herself because she too, again, you know, became acclimated in the wrestling business before even coming to the WWE, like Billie Kay and Paige. And you know, ultimately, she became a bigger star in her own right. She became the man. She became Becky Two Belts. She's, you know, firing on all cylinders right now. And here's this guy, meanwhile, saying that, oh, you know, because of her Irish accent and all that. I mean, you would think that with him, it's like, you would think that, you know, like, dude, that's a little discriminatory, don't you think? I don't know. That's just me. know, if someone was making fun of my looks, my, you know, my features, my voice, and I went through that back in high school, and it is not nice. It was not nice. And, you know, for, especially for someone a higher up like him to do that, it's just, it's not good. You know, I mean, it's not cool. It's, you know, I mean, be kind to one another. And again, I'm not saying he's a bad person or anything like that, though, but that right there was just classless, you know? And I'm glad she got her, you know, she got her measure of revenge by, you know, becoming a popular star, many fans gravitating towards her, you know, just really awesome, you know? And I hear, too, she's very, you know, friendly with the fans, too, you know, just really cool. So that's it for that article, and now I'm going to share with you, constant listeners, that video from Cafe de Renee with Paul London. It's a video that he showed about Vince McMahon and like how he treated Ashley Massaro, the late Ashley Massaro. If I can find it. Okay. Yeah, she basically passed away from a drug overdose, and Paul London actually opened up about like how she felt like she was being treated in the when she was still working at the WWE, and then how McMahon allegedly treated her, and then Kevin Dunn was involved in that, not in a physical sense though, but then he kind of did McMahon's bidding by telling her to go on a private jet apparently. So here's the footage from Cafe de Renee, which again, you know, if you are, especially if you are a wrestling fan, give this podcast a listen. It's really awesome. It's really funny and really awesome stories from Rene Dupree and Paul London himself. Take a look.
Right. But I do remember specifically many times when she would be crying to me because Vince was propositioning her to fly on the jet with them. Like Kevin Dunn, Bucktooth Bucky would be telling her that she has to fly on the jet with him, or that he might, you know, possibly, or every now and then if she was at the, you know, they'd always put the divas up at like the TV hotel or whatever, you know, he'd be knocking on her door and, you know, trying to get her to answer. And it's just like, I'm shocked this Vince stuff is just now coming out. I mean, it, you know, I haven't looked up on a lot of it and like, well, I want to get the details because I just would rather not, but I'm surprised it hasn't come out within the last 10 years. But that just goes to show how afraid people are of that power dynamic, where they're so fearful of losing their job, or, you know, it's like, what does that say about you if you're protecting this 90-year-old fucking corpse with a thong tan line? Just because he's a billionaire, you know, I mean, it's like I said, money changes people.
Just hoping to get that Legends contract and that money.
Yeah. The useless Hall of Fame position.
Which ain't worth a shit. Yeah. Right? It ain't worth a shit.
Man. But yeah, you know, in like what Paul London mentioned, like, you know, about that power dynamic and like how, you know, that alone right there just makes people afraid to, you know, afraid of losing their job. It's just, you know, that's pretty real. And I think that's in like most of corporate America, in a sense, where, you know, you always have that one person that, you know, basically your whole fate's in their hands. And I think that's kind of the same deal with Kevin Dunn, whereas especially with him having Vince's ear and saying certain things about people, I'm pretty sure, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that this dude's probably gotten a lot of people fired, you know, and just based on his suggestion alone. So there's that. And having said all that, I'm going to give you my final thoughts on the whole, on Kevin Dunn's fate in the WWE. And I have to say that I agree with the 96.2% of the people who voted in that poll that I put out on Twitter the other day. I think he's done. You know, I mean, with McMahon out of the picture and all those stories about him, how could he survive this? I mean, it's like, you know, he can't be, you know, it's for a while he's kind of like, and again, I'm not saying this to be mean or anything like that, you know, but you know, it's like a roach surviving a nuclear blast. But you know, at the same time, with all this going on right now, especially with Me Too, you know what I mean, like how can he survive this? And you know, this again with the stories about him, like I've walked you through with this Sportster article, which I think was written really well by Danny Jezovic. I think is how you pronounce it. Published actually last year, not too long ago. It was a pretty good article, by the way. Well written. But how can he survive that with all these stories written about him and then so many others in the community and in other wrestling journalism sites? I mean, there's always a chance that they could still keep him in the E. I mean, after all, he's a longtime friend of the McMahon family. But then again, with all this scandal and everything, like the tornado that it is, I don't know if he can actually survive all that, you know? I mean, it could very well be, you know, I mean, they could very well say that, well, maybe they're just disgruntled employees, which, okay, but then again, I mean, whether, you know, with instances like this, I mean, where there's smoke, there's usually fire, you know, from previous experience. So, I mean, you know, he could keep the job since he's a friend of the McMahon clan, but then again, there's that rivalry with Triple H. So we shall see what fate has in store for Mr. Kevin Dunn, WWE producer. Well, that does it for this episode for Geek Talk with Brian Furt 16. If you like the video or the podcast, please subscribe to Geek Talk with Brian Furt 16. And also like the video and hit the bell icon for any updates. You can follow me on social media at Earth16GeekTalk on Twitter and Instagram. And as I always say, constant listeners and constant viewers, thank you so much for listening. Stay ever so awesome. This is Brian Furt 16 signing out.